Well, this week we have a treat for us. Maybe not for you. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. We have a really cool discussion with one of our favorite rock stars of all time. Big D and I are both huge fans of the Christian band Stryper. And Michael Sweet, lead singer and guitar slayer from Stryper, joins us at the end of the podcast. We'll have that interview posted for those of you who missed it on the show. It's so cool. It is so flipping cool. So again, after the closing jingle of the podcast, stick around for Michael Sweet of Stryper. I used echo there because it was very dramatic.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba Podcast.
Well, hello, children. Nice to see you again today. That is our goal this week. We had this guy, he called, and he just, in the middle of nowhere, he stopped and just went,
so.
It was great. I don't know. It made us happy.
I almost died right then. I was drinking.
Yes. So the podcast this week, sponsored by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Thank you, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. We love you guys for all you do. You support us. We support you. It's a good thing.
I'll be getting I got to get a starter from them this weekend.
Do you really?
Yeah, starter
For the cop car that you bought or for the Chevelle?
No, for the Chevelle. For the Chevelle.
Are they going to have parts for like an old time car?
Oh, you can get those parts all day.
Oh, who knew?
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time. It's not like it's a starter from 1970. I mean, I'm not having to get I'm not getting that. I mean, they still make.
Yeah, it's a starter that will work on any motor for a whole era, I guess.
And I've learned so much about how when you get an old car, you have to learn it. You're forced. It's like being in a country and you don't speak their language. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, man, well, you better figure it out or pay someone a lot of money to translate for you.
Which one are you doing?
I'm both. I'm doing both. The good thing is that when you get into this world, you have buds, other people that you just get to meet, and they help you. You know, they're usually older guys that know more about cars and have been down the road, and so they can kind of go this, that, and blah, blah, blah. But so I had a really awful noise coming out of my car. In fact, I was leaving here one day, heading home, and out of nowhere, just loud. It sounded like an exhaust leak, but really loud, not like a normal hissing or a ticking. It was really loud. And so it looks like I've got a hole, credit card size hole in one of my headers.
So.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone else is the same thing.
So.
Yeah.
Until you talk to one of my other guys, they're like, wait, hold up. I talked to James Otto about it the other day.
Yeah.
He was like, do you have a backfire or something? I'm like, because he's got a Chevelle. His Chevelle is the one that he drove to his prom in high school.
What? And he still has car?
He went into the Navy.
Yeah.
And he went to Guam and gets back, and his uncle had taken the car. Someone had sold the car to his uncle, so he didn't even have the car anymore.
Oh, that stinks.
And his uncle wouldn't sell it to him or whatever. I may be telling family secrets they didn't want to know, but people don't know. But
oh, well.
He got it back finally. And did a complete restoration or a whole rotisserie resto mod car.
Rotisserie?
Yeah, that's where they take the car and they literally flip it like they're doing like a rotisserie chicken.
I thought you were making a chicken joke, like just throwing in words that really didn't make sense.
Nah, it's a fascinating piece of equipment, man. The whole car is in this rack type thing, and it rotates to where you can be standing working underneath the car on the frame or whatever.
And just standing there like normal.
Yeah, and then you can flip. Yeah, so.
That's kind of cool. So there's some guys who actually work on it where it's upside down?
Yeah.
Oh.
So
that's how you do the headliner, so it doesn't keep falling.
So
he's getting it completely done. He's doing it in the same colors, the same wheels. I think his wheels are maybe newer, but
aftermarket.
Yeah, but it's the same color, and it's just cool. Look, it's awesome. His is gonna be.
What are we gonna do?
Banging.
TikTok is banned. They're not gonna have it in the app stores beginning Sunday.
Yeah,
it's done. What are we gonna do? We just
and
gotta...
WeChat.
And WeChat. I don't even know what WeChat is. I don't use it.
I don't either.
I just literally got us our little TikTok for the show recently, just in time to give away all my information to China. And now it's not going away, but as the updates continue, it's going to not work as well, and then eventually just fail until they sell to an American company.
And I tell you, I'll see videos that are from TikTok, but they're on Instagram.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
my thing is, what's the point? I'm seeing it on Instagram. You could have done this on Instagram. It would have worked fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I have a. Like I you guys watch these videos, they're usually like teenage girls and they mouth the words to some movie or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they do that and their eyes are always kind of they do this kind of weird like
just like a viral clip or a viral soundbite that goes, you know, and then they'll just all mouth it.
And I'm just like, this is the dumbest. What am I doing?
Why is this a thing that people do?
And I watch it. I watch the whole thing. And then Instagram goes, oh, you love that. Well, here's some more. And I'm like, well, I'll watch it. And then, before you know it, that's all I get.
This is why we need college football. Because otherwise, that's all we'll do.
A couple few games this weekend. Not bad.
Man, it's a really start up next weekend.
Yeah, really. But
SEC starts playing.
Yeah.
This is when it turns real. That's exciting.
Here's what I've found. The silver lining in all this college football is that, like last weekend, I found myself watching games I would never watch. And they were great. They were close games.
D and I texted each other at least 10 times during the UL Lafayette versus Iowa State game.
That was actually a fun game to watch.
It was a lot of fun, but that would never happen. But like
all
a
three of us were texting during the Tulane game.
During the Tulane game.
I don't ever watch a Tulane game.
No, but they came
People
back.
In Tulane don't watch Tulane games.
Truer words were never spoken.
You know what? They made that comeback.
Dude, it was great. Those are both great games. Also, Iowa State and Ames, right?
Yep.
One of the best new college traditions is absolutely there.
What's the tradition? What are they doing?
Where at the end of the first quarter, the entire stands turns around and waves to the kids in the Children's Hospital that overlooks the stadium.
No, that's Iowa.
No, I thought it was
Iowa.
Is it Iowa? Which one is it?
I thought it was.
Which one is it? It's in Ames. I don't remember which one it is.
Let's bing it, boys.
Okay. No, it's Iowa State. But maybe I'm remembering last year when Iowa went to play Iowa State. They also did. Like all the football players from Iowa.
It's so cool. And it's a... I saw the video actually last weekend and of the very first one they did. And they're like, ladies and gentlemen, a new tradition here in the stadium. We're asking you to please stand and turn and wave to the littlest fans who are at Iowa's Children's Hospital, whatever it is, what's called. And these kids are all up to the glass looking out and waving to all the people in the stands. And it's now become a enormous thing.
Oh no, it did. It started at the University of Iowa, where they do that. Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh, so it's Iowa. It's not Iowa State.
Yeah.
Okay.
So everybody just turns around in the middle of the game and just waves to the because the building overlooks the stadium.
Yeah, oh yeah,
that's
man.
That's in Iowa. Maybe it was also like that in
that's
Iowa State,
great,
but
man.
It doesn't say that. So they started that in 2017. That's really kind of cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah, man. There's so many great traditions in college football, and it's at Iowa, and usually they take decades, generations, to come around—not decades, but generations. And so this is a new one.
At the
that
end
is,
of the first quarter every week.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's really cool, man. It's really cool. But yeah, so so we'll get some games this weekend, and then we'll get kind of full bore. I'm kind of holding off on the old betting until probably next weekend.
When it gets you guys in your bets. By the way,
that's why I know a little bit more about what's going on.
I was in on week one, and nobody ever paid me.
I don't even remember what bet you made.
I said that I forget what it was. Exactly. I said Army was going to win that first game.
Yeah,
and
you were
like, I'll take that. And then I never got paid.
He said he didn't want to take it because he didn't want to have to pay both of us.
Yeah, I don't have to pay both of you.
Oh, so Big D got paid. So you took his bet, but not mine?
Yeah, because we've been betting for years.
We bet all the time.
Yeah, you can't just jump in this.
I'm his bookie, man. I don't have to take you on as a client.
All right, fine. I see how it is.
You don't just wander into a movie like you think you know what's going
on. Fine, whatever.
Bubba would know the first thing about it. He would be like, how about them? And he would win. All the time.
Okay, so
I did good when you and I were at the sports book. I did good. I think I bet on 3 or 4 games and I won every single thing.
Yeah, I did.
Adam Wilbur, who works with our partner Compass Media, so he calls me. He called me about something totally work related yesterday, and then at the end he goes, "Hey, can you help me with this? We're doing this football pool in the office, and I came in last place." Which, if you think about Adam, is not at all surprising.
No.
That he came in last place.
College football thing?
No, it's one of these NFL pick'em things where they have to use the point spread and they pick all the games.
So he called to have you tell him what to do?
Yeah, well, he said he came in last place the week before because he didn't know anything. And, man, I'm not following the NFL right now at all. But I was like, okay, well, I can do better than Adam can. So I just laid it out. The first game I picked was I picked the Bengals to cover the 5.5-point spread last night, and they lost by 5. So, all right, go Bengals. All right, we're 1-0. Good going into the weekend, got a little lead.
A lot of people don't even know anything about it. They don't even know how to read your bet, information.
So if it's plus 3, then that means that your team is supposed to lose by 3?
Is that your team?
No, I'm just saying, like, let's say if it's my team plus 3.
If your team plus 3, they get 3 points. You add 3 points to their score. So if the score is 27-26 and they have 26, you add the 3 points and they have 29. Now they win. So that's how they have to. You understand?
Yeah, I get it. But that's just dumb. Why don't they just say your team is going to win by this many?
Well, I mean, that is what they're saying. They're just doing it in a more technical way.
Yeah. And then you get, over-unders. And
so the team with the minus next to it is the one that
is favored
to win.
So. Why would they do that? Why wouldn't they just highlight it in green or something? Green for win.
That's not any better.
I mean,
that's
it's way better.
Which one's
good? It's a little counterintuitive to have a minus.
Yes.
And that's minus 12, then they're favored to win by 12.
Yes, that's the weirdest thing. If you see, my team minus 12, then that means I'm losing.
That's not right.
No, it's wrong.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is wrong. It's very misleading.
Is there a team called the Campbell Fighting
Camels? Camels, yes.
The Campbell Camels?
Yes. They played last week. I watched it. How did I not know
about that? They are a massive favorite against Coastal Carolina this week, they're the underdog. Coastal's the favorite, 24.5 points.
You would know that if they actually highlighted it in green. If they say who's the winner, they're going to be in the green.
I didn't know there was a college called the Campbell Campbells.
And they are going to lose. You know why?
Yeah, they're
going
to lose.
Highlight in green. Not because plus and minus. That's so dumb.
Yeah. They're out of North Carolina. Small town.
Is that the best something nickname?
Creek. Oh, their logo's the best because it's like a camel that's like you just got slapped in the butt and it's running. It's the best. I love this. All the smaller schools that you don't really know stuff about, and the first few weeks of all the non-SEC and games and stuff, you're seeing these teams, and you're like, wait. And so you're Googling or Binging if you're Bubba.
They're the Fighting Camels.
Yeah, the Campbell Camels.
It's the Fighting Camels. Like, whoever has heard, I've heard of fighting roosters and things like that, but fighting camels?
Yeah, we're fighting camels.
Do you see their logo?
Ride on camels.
Yeah, I'm looking at the logo.
That's great, man. It's like you had a guy, a mean face.
It's like,
and it's kind of like stomping towards you.
It's like Pink Panther circa 1970.
Yes. I stand by that. My dad's alma mater still has the best nickname in all of college football because it's the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah, that's one
I
of
don't
best.
Think you. It's really. It's got to be in the top 10.
I didn't know he went to ULO.
Oh yeah, he has a undergrad and a master's degree. It was USL back then.
USL.
Okay. So we had LSU and USL.
Which one is the team that became the team in Waterboy?
That would probably be USL. That's the one they were making fun of. That or one of the smaller schools down in Bubba's neck of the woods, you know?
Like
Nichols.
Nichols, yeah.
Yeah.
Tulane.
Not Tulane. But, yeah.
That's the only reason why he's a fan of Tulane is because it's near.
No, I'll tell you why. When I was a little kid, my parent, that's right, that's I'm going Cajun on
yeah,
you.
Parent.
My parent would take me to, he was a Tulane alum, and he would take me to the games when I was little. And, you know, so you root for him. And then he pretty much was out of the picture, and I had no team for a long time and became an LSU fan. And, yeah.
All right, now we're going to play.
So the weird thing is now whenever they play each other, I don't know who to root for.
Now we're going
to
play Cajun Weird Word Trivia for Big D. D, spell paran.
Paran. P.
Yes.
Yes.
Good start.
A.
Yes.
R.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A.
Yeah.
Nope. None of the R.
No.
P-A-R-R.
Oh, it is. It's two R's.
P-A-R-R-A-I-N.
Oh, good for you.
Is that right?
That's
ding,
right.
Ding, 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 ding.
Paran.
Now spell Chapatulas.
T C H.
Yeah.
Bobby, you cooking this weekend?
No.
Oh, okay. But no. I know Patrick is, right?
No, they are doing buy one get one free. I think at one of the wing places I go to. So I'm going to be doing that. Yeah. I'll be enjoying a little bit of the wingness. By the way, I would like to let you guys know that I have a new wing flavor, and it's one they don't sell. It's one I was visiting some buds in Helen, Georgia, and we all went to this little place called Big Daddy's with two G's. And while we're there, they have hot lemon pepper. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get that. My bud got it. And it was the best wings I've ever had in my life. The flavor is crazy. So I went to a local wing place, and I got lemon pepper dry and then dipped it in the hot sauce, and it was almost identical. And I'm just saying, if you've never done lemon pepper hot, do it. If they sell the flavor, try it out. At least get a small order. If not, you want to definitely do the dipping after. So good.
I think, isn't that the place that has a lemonaki? It's like teriyaki lemon.
Where, in Helen?
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a bunch of weird flavors, and I was just like, I wanted just regular hot, so I got mine. But my bud, I ended up eating most of the ones off of his. I was like, hey, I'll trade. You ever do that? You trade flavors with, like, your buds?
Yeah.
So
they have a raspberry jalapeno that's out here is pretty good.
Are you looking at their menu online? Is that what's going on?
That's what's happening right now, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I can't wait, because that's not too far from where my parents live. It's about 30 minutes through the mountains, and I can't wait. Like, we're going back there next weekend to go visit mom and dad. So I think I might go swing out and get me some lemon pepper hot.
At about 2 o'clock this in the morning, tomorrow morning, I'll be up looking at a brisket. I'm going to throw it on around 10 tonight.
Okay.
Do a low, slow.
So you're putting your brisket on at 10 p.m. Then you're going to set an alarm to wake up at 2 a.m.?
Yeah.
To look at it?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start. Oh, yeah.
Just look at it?
Just go look. I wish it was here. I just look at it.
So
it's going to be. I want to spray it. You don't have to. Like, man, I will, because I feel like I need to.
Spray it what? So it doesn't dry out?
Yeah, but it's going to dry. Yeah, they say. But I'm going to wrap it anyway, so it's going to get. It's not going to dry out. That's a big piece of meat with a lot of fat. It's not going to dry out. The flat might, but it's going to be okay. But, yeah, guys, spray it with different stuff, apple cider vinegar or soda or beer or water or whatever.
Yeah.
I found that just water is fine. Like, I don't really. But so anyway.
Well, I'll you're the guy who, whenever I first met you, like before we were even doing a show together, I went to your house because we were trying to, I guess, discuss whether we were going to do a morning show together. And you had made, I think it was burgers, and you were spraying them with beer, and I had never done that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still, to this day, spray down my burgers with beer. So that's what you should do. Just in the traditional Big D beer spraying, just spritz them.
Spray with beer. You know, I learned that from so when I was living in Billings, Montana, there is I want to say it's the world's largest beef sale, and it's right outside one of the big ranches outside of Billings. And so people come from around the world for this to buy beef. Like, they're selling heads of cattle and all that kind of stuff. But they have a giant.
Now, when you say beef sale, you're talking about like alive?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so they have.
I was a little lost there.
They bring in these trailer grills, you know, the ones that you pull on 18-wheelers?
Yeah, the ones that look like they have huge. The different ones. Like, you have one that looks like the space shuttle, one that looks like an oil derrick and all
yeah, these
kinds
are
of
all
crazy
just
stuff.
Barrels, but yeah, exactly. And they have this guy, and he cooks. He's from South America, and he has all this cut of meat, and he's got tons of meat that he's grilling every day. And I was sitting there, I was watching him, and he was opening it up and spraying the stuff down. And I had never seen that either. And I was like, he's like, yeah, I'm spraying it with beer. And that's who I learned it from.
What's up with the South Americans being good at American stuff? Like,
No, man. That's not an American thing. That's a South American thing.
The beer thing? No, I'm talking
the grilling.
About really?
Grilling is a South American thing.
Grilling didn't start in America.
No, man. South American grilling is called open grilling. And it's done.
I think they grilled all over the world. Cavemen.
Yeah, I
grilled.
Mean, they grilled, but they have, but they're, you know them. You see the steakhouses, the mm-hmm.
yeah,
Brazilian
steakhouses.
So they do a style of grilling that is unlike anyone else that I know of, where they have imagine you know those pop up tents.
Yeah,
you get like. You just pull like in a game or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine a pop-up tent with all the little girders or whatever on top. Okay, now imagine having a fire with just wood, okay, or coals or something on the ground, and they take meat and they hang it from chains at different levels.
And you're talking about like a tent, kind of like a tailgate tent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not, because it would get damage, but it's that type of a setup. Okay,
right.
So they have things that
it's
are
like
over
canvas,
it.
Probably.
It, well, it's not that. Even canvas. They have it's like yeah, something like that. I think it's metal, but they hang meat from different levels, and they will put stuff closer to it, further away, and they'll have a bunch of these. They'll have several fires going, and they're hanging meat above it and cooking it, hanging over it, the fire, and they do that, and they'll let it cook. For hours. It's like open fire cooking. You ever done like open fire cooking? Like where you cook
like
things?
When you're camping out? Yeah, I've done that. Like where you kill a squirrel and you
I mean okay, yeah, no. But,
do a little
I mean
cut and
yeah,
you pull
I mean that's a really primitive version
whoop.
Of it. But yeah, there's all kinds of different ways that people have cooked. They cook things outside. Like you have these like trays that are metal trays, and like you put a fire on the tray, and then you have three levels. It looks like a cart. Like a metal with different levels, mm-hmm. and you put the meat on one of the levels. You can I've seen guys who do it with hay, where they take hay and they soak it in water, and then they put fish, like whole fish, into the hay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And
I'm
it
so
steams.
Everybody's
it,
saying
it
in their head
it.
Right now. They're going hey every time he says hey now.
And so when the heat hits the bottom of it, it doesn't light the stuff on fire because it's covered by that metal, and it basically steams the fish inside the hay.
Hey.
He can't help himself. I know. He just can't.
Hey. No, I can't, man. I can't. My dad, when I was a little kid, we would drive by like somebody who just did their field, and he would go hey. And I would look, and I'd be like, what? And it would just be bales of hay outside.
Do you call that a dad joke?
That is a dad joke. Mm, that is a okay. total dad joke.
So when you do it, it's...
When I do it...
It's not
I'm
a dad
keeping,
joke.
No, when I do it, I'm keeping the spirit of that alive.
Okay.
And I do it to my kids. I do it to my wife. I think it's great. And sometimes my wife will be driving. She'll go, hey. And I'll be like, what? Ah, you got me. Oh, ho, ho. It's great.
What a lovely lady. And she's so lucky to have you. Anyway,
yeah. Speaking of unlucky, my poor wife, because she had some minor sinus surgery last week on Friday,
and now she smells you.
No, as she, I am the. I am the worst nurse. I am just not, you know, some people have skills and some people have natural inclinations to things. And taking care of sick people, it's just really not.
Me either.
It's just, I'm not good at it. I'm not. I try. I love her, or I wouldn't try at all. But like, I have like such limited patience for people who are sick.
Yeah. You walk in and go, are you still laying
down? Oh my gosh, what's wrong with you?
I know, man.
She wasn't feeling good last night because she had a headache and she was just laying there. And every now and then she'd just go, And I go, what? What's wrong? And I don't even mean it. It's just my natural reaction to somebody.
You do know you make those same noises too.
Oh God, way more.
I make noise, but I'm saying she was making it. Obviously, she was in pain, I'm concerned, but I don't show that concern in a loving way.
our dog is the ACL surgery, and so he has to stay in a kennel in the living room. And I can hear at night he'll whine that, you know, that crying kind of, and so Kathy's like, oh, I should go out there. I'm like, he'll stop. He'll cry himself out.
Yeah.
Like a kid. They'll be fine.
Yeah. I'll eventually.
Yeah. I'm going to bed. I'm just going to turn the fan up louder. But yeah, I'm not very good at this stuff. You got to pick him up. It'll take you, walk him outside. And you have to pick him up, walk him, hold him all the way out to the grass, push, let him stand there, do his business, and then pick him back up because his walking is all funky.
Oh, that stinks too, because then you're picking him up and you get some of the wetness, the dampness from the grass or whatever. And you're like, is that dampness from the grass or is that urine?
Nah, I don't care about that. I don't get grossed out by that, any of that stuff.
I do. I don't want animals living in my house.
I don't either.
I don't.
No,
Patrick.
The worst is like when you pick up your dog and they've got dried poop all in their hair, and you're like, man. Because then you need to get rid of that. So I just cut it. I get a pair of some scissors for the dogs.
Not me.
And I'll cut that out because there's no way I'm going to sit there and kind of peel at it and pick at it. I'm like, you're about to be bald by your booty butt.
Is staying in the garage till Vivica gets home, and I am not dealing with that.
Kathy told me one time that Shadow was pooping, and she saw that he had like a string coming out of his butt because he ate a string or something. So she went over there and pulled it out, and I was
just
like,
kept pulling and kept pulling and kept pulling, and like the whole time she's sitting there, she's doing the hand over hand pull, you know. So it's just coming and coming and coming, and the dog ate a whole thimble of or a whole little roll of string. I made up a whole story now for your dog.
Look at these fakes. Like, what just happened? Did you hijack my actual story?
Did you hear his energy change? His energy went
when
up.
When he realized that we were both looking at him like, what the?
No, when he started his little story. He's like, and then they're doing their thing. And then the visual with the hand over hand.
Yeah, and then I was thinking about the poop as she's pulling it. It's like, got the poop on it. Now she's got the poop on her hands.
I think I was saying they kept pulling. And like, all of a sudden, his fur started coming off in lines.
That would have been funny.
Yeah. No, but you hijacked his story and went with a whole different one.
It was great.
But he still got to get his poops, the little lines coming off. He still got that in.
Yeah, I came back.
So we had all kinds of little sillies there.
It's just great. We got a chance to talk to Striper, which I know you don't know who that is, but it's a band that Bubba and I and Larry the Cable Guy were their three hugest fans. And it's a Christian rock group,
and also
from the 80s.
Chris Jansen is a fan of them too.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
Yeah, I remember we talked to him about
really
it. And Low Cash. The guys from Low Cash are both huge, huge Striper fans too. I mean, they're kind of like, you know, they're a band that people really love or really don't know who they are.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
If you know who they are, you love them.
And if you don't, you at least respect them. Because they are very talented, right?
They're crazy talented.
Sure. Yeah. No, they're very good.
Yeah, okay.
And Michael Sweet can still sing like he's 20-something years old.
Yeah.
Which is yeah, it's not easy to do.
They put out a new album and it rocks. It's crazy good.
So if you here's the selling point. You guys want to hear Big D and Bubba be fangirls over this rock band they liked when they were in high school? Then keep listening, because this is what's about to happen.
For those of you on Facebook, thanks for watching. But yeah, the interview with that is at the end of the podcast, right after the jingle. Again, if you're watching on Facebook, you're not going to hear it, but you can go to any podcast app and take a listen right there. So check that out. All right, we about done?
Done.
So.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because we can listen to the regular show on the radio.
The regular show.
Every day.
So.
It was the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Dude. Michael Sweet from Striper on the hotline. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, we're just sitting here rocking out to Even the Devil Believes.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, I have memories of us in the studio having fun with you guys. How's everything going there?
Man, things are good. Things
it's
are
good, yeah.
As good as we can ask for them to be in this kooky year that we've have been stuck in the middle of.
When are you guys going to be able to get back on the road?
Gosh, that's a good question. I wish I had a, I guess as they say, a crystal ball. I mean, we're planning on next year. But, you know, you read these stories and you watch the news and then you hear that music may not resume live shows on that level until 2022. So, you know, we're planning on next year for sure.
Yeah, it's tough, man. Live music is a lot of artists have, you know, people don't understand. People just think that because they hear your music on the radio, or that you're a band, or what, they think everyone's like multimillionaires. And
I know.
And a lot of these artists, man, it's like show
especially
to show.
Especially if you're in a band, you're splitting the money four ways.
Yeah, that's right.
I know, man. Well, I mean, Robert takes all the money, so he's a billionaire. But the rest of us are poor. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it also, you know, people go, well, yeah, but look how much they charge for tickets and this and that. Yeah, they're paying crew and people to set up stuff.
And they've got
all these things to pay. That's all. When you see those things, like how much money so-and-so made last year, and they rank all the people, that's before... That's total. That's the gross. That's before they paid the first person. So you can't use that to say, oh, well, they're loaded.
Yep. And well, people are quick to assume that now. And then obviously social media fuels that fire, you know, because everybody has a voice and rumors start and they spread and they're just not true or factual. But, you know, you're right. I mean, we really go out of our way to keep our prices very fair. And that's why we don't make as much money. You know, it's not about the money for us, but at the same time, we got to pay our bills and like anybody else. But we just did a listening party, for example, of the new album. We had four of them, and the price was $7.77.
Yeah, $7.77. Nice.
I love it.
You know, so, I mean, you can't get any more fair than that. We still had some people complain.
Yeah, you know, you kick those people out, and you go, listen,
you're either a real fan or you're not.
Either you're in or you're not. $7.77, hit the door. So, like, do you guys remember when, I know you do, but take us back when Striper was a baby Striper, and it's becoming a thing, and what the environment looked like when Striper hit the stage?
Well, I mean, obviously, at that time in 83 and 84, when we were forming and put out our first album, it was an explosive time with all things hard rock and metal, especially specifically in L.A., which is where we were. And you'd go down to Hollywood and, you know, you could go to Gazzari's and see Striper and Rat, and then go to the Whiskey and watch Wasp, and then go down to the Troubadour and watch, you know, Guns N' Roses. I mean, it was crazy. You know, it was an interesting time, and we were a part of that. So it was a very special time. Now, fast forward to 2020, music has changed, especially hard rock and metal. It's not... the leader of the pack. It's not top of the charts like a lot of country and pop and hip hop is. But back then it was, you know, I mean, Striper was number one on MTV, and we had top 20 hits, and we were rocking and rolling. But, you know, it's just a different time. So you got to be a little more creative with how you do things. And Striper's been able to somehow figure that out. And we've survived. And we were probably the one band that most people would have said wouldn't survive.
Yeah. I mean, you had, you know, you're coming at music from a different philosophy of, you know, not only how it sounded, because it but was also the message, and it gave it gave people. I know for me, growing up listening, it gave me a thing to be a part of, because it was kind of, it was cool, man. It was me and Jeremy and Gerald and Sam, my guys, and we were the Quad Squad, and
see, you know, we were the God Squad.
And y'all the
Quad Squad.
That's,
we're the God
that's
Squad.
Right, dude. Jeremy had I'll never forget. He had this old Chevy pickup truck, and he had glass packs on it, and his license plate said ROC, the number 4, GOD, and he had Striper sticker up on his window, and we were just, man, we were in it, and it was cool because it didn't sound like our parents' Christian quote unquote music. It wasn't the Gaither vocal band. It was, you know, it wasn't Petra. God, listen, I love Petra, but Petra,
yeah, we do too.
Petra's it's a different thing.
And it was boring.
It has its moment.
Petra wasn't this.
It's
though.
Not that, man. Like,
and this is
not.
Like, this is when you were like a kid and you were rocking out to Soldiers Under Command when they had just first come out. And you got your windows down, and you're, you know, looking out for deer, and you're like praying to God that you don't hit a deer. That was it.
That was it.
Those were the times. It was innocent.
No, we were one of a kind. Love us or hate us, and we have both sides. Trust me, we're one of a kind. There is no band like Striper, and we did our own thing, and you know. We always have, and we always will. We're still doing our own thing. And, you know, we get poked fun at and all that stuff. But yet at the same time, amid all the haters, we have such a solid, amazing fan base that's more loyal than the Kiss fan base. You know, we have an incredible following. And they allow us and help us to continue on. And that's why I'm sitting here talking to you. If it wasn't for our fans, I wouldn't be here. And man, we're so thankful.
Yeah, we're not on the phone with Whitesnake.
We're always going to give people hope, man, with our lyrics and our message, always.
Well, I would love to see like you guys really go crazy one day and do like a mashup. Like, I love Christian rap as well, which again, those guys are going through what you guys went through back in the day, because there's so many people in the establishment in the pop scene that are like, oh, well, that's not real rap because, you know, it's about God or it's about positive messages and this and that. But they're literally living what you guys have already lived through. So I would love to see
you guys
do like some kind of mashup, kind of like the way Walk This Way was with Run DMC and Aerosmith.
Oh,
I'm thinking
yes.
Totally like, you know, something with you guys and a Christian rapper just to blow people's minds.
Absolutely, man. You know, look. Those people in Striper are true rebels. And I always get a kick out of, I hear this a lot. People say, man, you can't mix Christianity and metal because metal's all about rebellion. And then I think to myself, what's more rebellious than mixing Christianity with metal?
Yeah. Jesus was the ultimate rebel, man.
Exactly. He was and is, and you know, I get a kick out of those kinds of comments because if people only knew. But man, it doesn't slow us down. It doesn't stop us or keep us from doing what we're doing. And we're going to keep putting out music. We're going to keep touring. And I guess we're going to piss a lot of people off in the process. I don't know.
Oh, well, too bad. So sad. The 13th album now, it's called Even the Devil Believes. It's available now from Striper. And if...
I'm sorry, I just got to turn that off.
I will never forget being at one of the shows with you guys, and you came out, and I don't... Bubba looked at me and goes... How does Michael Sweet hit those notes?
Like, still, how do you hit the notes? That's crazy.
It's like people don't understand. Like, physiologically, your body changes with age. Your voice does get deeper. That's why you see these guys who are playing these shows, and you're like, hey, that song isn't the way it goes. It's supposed to go up one.
They usually
went down one. Yeah. And what do you do?
I'm going to turn this up just so you guys can hear what we're talking about. Like, you guys sound like you're 23, 24 years old still.
Strong,
you know what,
solid.
I do? I tell you, here's the secret. And people, any singer can do this, okay? So you buy a bunch of different size pants. So starting at, like, waist 26, going up to waist 32
All right.
And then I go out on stage, and if I'm feeling like, man, my voice is in shape, honey, give me the size 26. And I squeeze into them, and then I go out, and I'm able to hit the notes, man. Okay. No, you know what it is? I choose my battles. I don't have the voice I had before. It's not as high. It's a little lower. It's a little grittier. But I choose my battles. So there are certain notes I have to hit live. And if I don't, it's a huge letdown for all the people in the crowd. So I focus on those. And I may not do as many as I did back in 1989 or 90, but I'm still able to do it, thank God. And if that day ever comes, I always joke about this, but yeah, I'm kind of serious. If the day ever comes where I can't do it, I'm going to go out with a little integrity, and we'll bring in some young kid who can, and I'll just play guitar and run around.
Yeah. I mean, listen, you do what you want to do.
I hear there's a kid from Philippines that can hit all the notes.
Oh, my gosh. Have you seen that guy? Michael?
Yeah, Arnell's amazing.
From Journey. Dude, that guy, he's like
unbelievable.
That's a superhero.
It is, dude.
Love him. Love, absolutely. And I used to, before he joined Journey, I found him on YouTube singing a Striper song. He was in a band called The Zoo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Honestly. And he did it. He sang it better than I ever sang it. And I was blown away. And next thing I know, he joined Journey. But I've always been a fan of Arnell's. He's an amazing guy. I've met him a few times. He's a big fan of Striper. He actually would play Striper songs backstage before the Journey shows. And I know this because our keyboard player worked for Journey. And he'd say he'd play Striper songs all the time.
That's cool.
Well, man, congratulations. And please tell all the rest of the guys that we said hey. And if you love Striper, you probably already have the album. It's called Even the Devil Believes because it is out. If you are not aware of Striper, I highly, highly recommend you dive into Striper music.
How many albums again? What'd you say?
13.
13.
Wow. Well, 13 studio albums, and then we've got compilation and live albums and all kinds of other projects. And obviously, I've done 10 solo albums and 2 Sweet and Lynch albums, so we've got a lot of music out there.
You can check them out online as well, striper.com, STRYPER.
I know.
I want to see you guys do a collaboration with Jason Aldean, because I think Jason would dig it, man. That guitar ripping.
You know what? That would be phenomenal, and we'd be there in a heartbeat because, you know, we've got roots in country, man. Our parents are country singers and songwriters, and we grew up around country, and I'm not just saying that. But it'd be killer. We'd love to.
And wasn't one of the guitarists in, like, who was in the band working for somebody?
You're talking about Perry Richardson. He was in Trace Atkins' band and also Craig Morgan.
That's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, man. So,
yeah,
all right,
our bass player. He was formerly a Firehouse, man. He's a rocker, but he did the country thing, too, because we all grew up on country music, you know? And when we tell people that, they're like, what? I mean, Buck Owens, we used to blast Buck Owens and, you know, all the Ray Price and Conway Twitty, Loretta Lynn. Okay. I mean, I grew up on all that stuff.
Concept album here. Striper does classic country.
Oh, my gosh. With the
Striper style.
Striper style.
The question is, would it do well or would it bomb?
Who cares? It'll rock.
We'll buy it. Make it for us.
You sold two.
You got two people. And then Larry the Cable Guy. So you got three.
Oh, of course.
Larry.
Of course. I love Dan, man.
One of my friends. Michael, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the latest. Again, it's called Even the Devil Believes. It's available now from Striper. Michael,
thank you, guys. Love you very much. It's always great to hear your voices. And thank you for all the support, man. God bless you guys.
See you, Michael. Bye-bye.
See ya.